life more abundantly. So we have to trust him when he says, I know it's the deep end and you won't reach the bottom, but trust me, I'll teach you to swim. But it's not only money, because gold and silver does not rust. Your treasure is not just gold and silver. Because I checked it on Google. Gold and silver don't rust. Thieves do break in and steal it, but it doesn't rust. So your treasure is not just money. It is what you buy with your money, what you accumulate, what you value, what you treasure. Some people buy art, some people buy shares, some people buy homes, and houses and property. It's not just money. It's different things to different people. What is your treasure? For some, it is fame. How many followers they have? What do you treasure? What we accumulate and value on earth, that is our treasure. Versus what we accumulate and value in heaven. What is gathered on earth will not remain forever, but what is gathered on earth can corrupt our hearts and even our faith. Mammon riches, Jesus calls a master, because not because it is in itself wrong, but because it can corrupt us and enslave us if we value it more than him. That's why Jesus explained, for where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. That's why Jesus says, don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, because your heart will be where your treasure is. And if it is on earth, it will not last. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, and your heart will also be there. That's the second reason. On 1 Timothy, we read the following, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. Those who want to get rich fall into a temptation and a trap, and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge people into ruin and destruction. For the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many sorrows. Riches can easily become a master because it tends to never be enough. You know, if you have 1 million rand, you know what happens? You tend to surround yourself with people who have 10 million rand. And then all of a sudden you feel the poorest. And then if you have 10 million rand, you surround yourself with people who have 50 million rand. And then you feel, shucks, I'm not rich. They are rich, and I'm poor, and I need to get to where they are at. Riches becomes a master because it enslaves us. When we fix our focus only on earthly profit, invest only on and in the earth, our heart starts to drift. When our main pleasure and satisfaction is from things in this world, our heart starts to drift. It becomes the thing that we love, value, and seek after. It becomes the thing that we are living for. What are you living for? What are you spending yourself on? Jesus says, where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. But it's not only our hearts at risk, it is our will. Because Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. You cannot serve. Serving is a choice. Who are you going to serve? Are you going to serve God or are you going to serve riches? Who are you going to serve? Service is a choice. It starts off very subtly, but it grows to control us. And so it becomes a master. Because you never have enough. One car, small tires. No. No, I want the car with the big tires. Have you noticed the more expensive the cars are, the bigger the tires are? And then when you have to change the tires, then it's more than this cheap car. It's never enough. Becomes a master. It's the third reason. Because riches becomes a master, and you cannot serve two masters. Jesus said, we cannot serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted. If you don't hate, you will be devoted. You will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. Worldly things tend to grip us totally, our heart and mind, and we pour out our strength and time into it. Worldly things demands everything. It's your time, your focus, your energy, your heart, your future, your vision, your identity, your purpose. It's not just your money, it's your time and it's what you think about. It becomes your master. You spend more time following one than the other. Jesus said, you can only have one. Because your heart goes where your treasure is. Worldly things tend to grip us totally, our heart and mind, and then we pour out our strength and time into it. Worldly things demands everything. Its demand is totalitarian, absolute. I want everything. But so does God. God is a jealous God. He says, you must love me with all your heart, all your mind, all your strength, all your soul. I want everything. If you love husband, wife, mother, father, children, your own life, if you love anything more than me, you can't be my disciple. Because I want everything. Because you can't serve two masters. So how do we guard our hearts from this? Well, it starts with the simple things that we've heard so often. Faith, hope, and love. How do we guard our hearts to being drawn into the world and being mastered by the world? Is faith, hope, and love. Faith in God. That God exists. He's eternal. This is not. This is temporal. We know it so well. We see it throughout life. that whatever man puts his heart on in this life, it fails, it decays, and it does not bring happiness. Look at the millionaires. They still commit suicide, they still drug addicts, they still commit adultery, they continue in heartache and pain. Even though they've got everything the world promises them, it's just empty. It's just never enough. It's just more. I just want more, and more does not bring you life. It just makes you a slave. So God calls us to something greater. So we have to have faith. How do we guard our hearts from being drawn into the world and the things in the world and the love for the things? Like God says, do not love the world and the things in the world, because the love of the Father is not in it, and the things in the world, it will perish. But those who love God will endure forever. God has come to give us life and life more abundantly. And so He speaks to us, and He leads us, and He explains to us. Faith. We need to have faith in God. That's the first step. How do we guard out? We need to have faith in God, that God exists and that He's a rewarder of those who earnestly seek Him. It starts there. And this faith is not just faith in His existence, but that we trust Him. We trust Him that He has come to give us life. And because we have faith and trust in Him, we believe His word. We believe what He says. And that gives us hope, because what He says is these amazing promises of eternal life and an inheritance waiting for us. A treasure that will never fade, that will never decay, that will never be stolen, kept for us, waiting for us. And so because we have faith in Him, it gives us hope. Because of the things that He said. And then love. It's a response. It's the most important one. Faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love is a response. I want to be where you are. Jesus' prayer. It's so powerful. You know, I'm always moved by it. When He says, Father, that they may be where I am. I love you. I want to be where you are. It's okay. So Jesus says, careful. Careful about the things in this world, because it will distract you, it will enslave you, and it will draw your heart away from Me. One way love manifests is obedience. Obedience is trust. So let us consider what Jesus said. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Firstly, it means we need to shift our focus and trust. We need to shift our focus and trust. We need to shift it to God. We must not put our trust. This is it. This is a deep end. You must not put your trust on riches. I know it feels secure, but God says you must trust Me, which will require faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. Those who come to Him must believe that He exists and that He is a rewarder of those who only seek Him. Hebrews 11 verse 6, it's not there. Faith. It's not ankle deep. You're not standing on riches here. I want you to step off. You must trust Me. Do not put your trust in riches. Put your trust in Me. It's the first step. Secondly, cultivate a lifestyle of simplicity and contentment. Contentment and simplicity. When is enough enough? Well, that's a whole sermon on its own. But cultivate contentment and simplicity. Because if you're not content with what you have, careful that you don't become a master of riches or a slave of riches. You will not master it. It will master you. So first we need to trust God and not riches. Then we need to cultivate a lifestyle of contentment and simplicity. You don't need 3 cars. I don't know if somebody do. We have 1. We've been blessed with another and then it was taken away. It wasn't moth or rust. It was just the water pump. And then the engine. And it's with the mechanic for 1 year now. It doesn't last. But the one that we started off with, it does. It's still there. Maybe it's because it's a Toyota. I don't know. But you don't need 3 cars. It's a shift from pursuing worldly possessions, success, and recognition to focusing on spiritual growth, serving God, and showing love and generosity to others. That's how you build a treasure in heaven. It's when you start focusing on spiritual things, serving God, and being generous to others. And there are so many scriptures that you probably know, and we don't have enough time. And Luke, Jesus says the following, and he said to them, "Watch out. Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. For life does not consist in the abundance of possessions." And then he told them this parable. Now, in his love and his mercy and his kindness towards us, he now tells us a story to help us to understand what he just said. In case, it's not that we don't understand, it's just so hard to accept. How can life not be out of the abundance of possessions? Come on! It is nice to have 3 cars. Valai Plattis. Yo, I saw a guy today. And you know what's fascinating? If you drive a Ferrari, I don't know why you can pay 8, 9, 10 million rand for a car that doesn't have aircon. Can somebody explain to me, why does Ferraris and Lamborghinis not have aircon? Because every time they're in town, all the windows are down. So that you can see who's driving it? I don't understand it. My car is an aircon. I don't have to turn the window down. But anyway, maybe it will make it 15 million if they put aircon in it. I don't know. But watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in the abundance of possessions. And then he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. And he thought to himself, what shall I do? What shall I do with all this extra wealth that is all of a sudden coming? I'm already rich. This is the ground of a certain rich man. I already have all that I need. Abundantly. And now I have even more. What shall I do with the more? I'll tell you what. I'll keep it. Then he said, what shall I do? I will tear down my barns, the big ones that I have, and I will build even bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus of grain. And then I will say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool. You fool. You had an opportunity to lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, but you decided to have more treasure. this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. Jesus explains to us. He tells us a story. And then he just drives the point again. Trust, security, and priority. Where do we put our trust, security, and priority in? Remember, wealth in itself is not evil. God blesses many of his people. It becomes evil when our main focus and trust and pursuit is in it. And how we use it, how we use our wealth. Do we use our wealth only for our own security and pleasure? Store up things for ourselves, but is not rich towards God? Or do we also look to invest in eternal things that have eternal value and spiritual significance? It's just what Jesus said. So how are we rich towards God? And how do we lay up for ourselves treasures in heaven? The Bible is full of it. I want to encourage you to go search for it, lest you say, I say. But actually, we're running out of time. We know how to accumulate on earth. We know how to do that. We know how to build for ourselves treasures on earth. But how do we accumulate treasures in heaven? Let me give you some quick pointers. We tithe. We tithe. It's an Old Testament principle. It's not the standard, was just the beginning. I mean, there was alms and offerings and all kinds of other giving over and above. It was just like the basic standard. Acknowledge God for what he has given you. I've given you power to get wealth. Acknowledge me in it. It's one way. Another way is to give to the poor. We have so many scriptures that speaks about giving to the poor and you will have a treasure in heaven. Give to the poor. Invest in the kingdom. Invest yourself, your capacity, your ability in that what advances God's kingdom in this world. It's another way the scripture says we actually gain for ourselves a treasure in heaven if we invest in God's purposes. Sharing the gospel, helping others to do so. And then pursuing God. It's a fourth way of building for ourselves treasures in heaven. Pursuing God. We just read earlier as Jesus was like preparing us from ankle deep to hip deep. Saying that when you pray, don't pray to be seen by others. But pray in secret. And my Father who sees in secret will reward you. And when you fast, don't let everybody see you. But fast in secret and your Father will... In pursuing God in prayer and fasting and seeking Him, you know what? There's reward. Building for yourself a treasure. It's like when it's fascinating. When you are old and you are no longer able and your pension is small, you can still build a treasure by prayer. You can still pray. You can still devote yourself to the Lord. When we give of our material resources, time, talents, energy to serve others and to meet their physical and spiritual needs, we are investing in heaven. Jesus said, I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. And we will ask, Lord, when did we see you thirsty or hungry or naked and clothed you? And Jesus said, if you did it to the least of one of these, you did it to me. Jesus said, if you give a cup of water to anyone who comes in my name, most assuredly I say to you, you will have your reward. It's just building up a treasure. Being eternally minded, not just earthly minded, but actually putting God first, trusting in Him and His kingdom. We know it so well. It's a kingdom mindset. Invest your effort and resources in activities that serve the eternal purposes of God's kingdom, not just fleeting earthly pleasures. But in 1 Timothy 6, verse 17 to 19, we read, command those who are rich. Who of you live in a shack? Okay, so we're all rich. We're all rich. Command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant and put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain. But put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and be willing to share. In this way, they will lay up for themselves treasure. They will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. Jesus said, I've come that you may have life, and that you may have it more abundantly. That you will be able to swim and not be afraid, even though you do not have anything under your feet, because I am everything. I am everything. I'll show you a way of life that you don't need to be anxious about anything. Your Father knows what you need before you ask Him. Go read on at home what Jesus says about this kind of life. It says you cannot serve two masters. You cannot serve God and money. Therefore, my favorite word in English, therefore, do not. Because you cannot serve uncertain riches and God, if you choose to serve Him, therefore, do not be anxious about anything. And read what He says. And then He says another therefore. Therefore. He says, your Father knows what you need. The Gentiles seek after all these things. What shall they eat? What shall they wear? All those things. Your Father knows what you need. Therefore, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And all these things shall be added to you. I've come that you may have life and life more abundantly. I've come that they may hold life and life in the full. I'm going to ask the ushers to hand out the elements. We're going to partake of communion, and I want to give you an opportunity, maybe just this morning, just to reflect. I had a bit of a head start. I had a whole week of just reading, meditating, thinking, jumping in the deep end, swallowing some water, coming out again. I say, Lord, I know who you are. I know your word is true. I know you are true. And I know all your ways leads to life. Search my heart, Lord. Search my heart. Where's my treasures? Where are the stuff that I still put my hope and trust in? And then I go in the deep end and I swallow some water and I go back. I say, okay, I must get this right before Sunday. So I have a little head start. I have a little head start. We all have treasures here. We all do. I want to encourage you. Trust Him. Let go. Let go of that treasure and put your faith and trust in Him. Ask Him, Lord, teach me to swim. I'm sinking here. Yeah? I don't want to let go of this. I don't want to let go of that. In this world, Lord, you must have riches. You must have some form of security. Jesus is saying, trust me. There's a different way of life. There's a different way. I've come to set you free from being a slave and from fear and anxiety and uncertainty. I've come to give you hope, a future. I've come to give you freedom. But this is the way, my son. My daughter, this is the way. It's not going to make sense to your flesh. It's not going to make sense to your mind, your reasoning, your understanding. And it's going to be so different to the world. But I want you to follow me. Trust me. I want us to wait for one another. We're going to partake together. And while we wait, I want us just to close our eyes. Won't you ask the Lord, where is your treasure? What do you have trust in? Deur soek my, o God, en toets my hart, my emosie en my verstand, en sien of daar enige bose in my is, en lei my op die ewige pad. Lord, test our hearts this morning. Know our emotions, our will in our hearts, Lord. And lead us, Lord. Lead us away from any anxious thoughts. Lead us away from any anxious thoughts. Help us to put our faith and trust in you. Lord, you gave us everything. You were willing to let go of your glory to become poor. All your riches, all your fame, you left behind and were born in a feeding bucket, in a stable, homeless, left without any earthly possession. You chose to become poor to show us that life is not in the abundance of possessions, but in faith in you. And that there is a way of life that is greater than this world has to offer. And you gave your life to pay for our sin and our weakness and our failings and our trust in the things in this world. You paid the price for that. Lord, help us never to forget. Let's eat together. You died, Lord, and your blood was shed for us so that we may be forgiven, so that we may be set free, redeemed, and have an inheritance waiting for us, an inheritance undefiled, kept for us by the power of God. Lord, we pray, Lord, and we thank you for this blood. We thank you that you have set us free. We thank you that you have forgiven us. We thank you for the inheritance waiting for us. We ask you, Lord, help us not to put our trust on that what is temporal, but to put our faith and trust in what is eternal. Thank you that you paved the way for us, that we can. And so we ask you, Lord, as we drink this cup, we thank you for our salvation and our future. And we worship you for it. In Jesus' name, let's drink together. Thank you, Lord, for this life. I pray as we go from this place that you will continue to teach us to swim. And show us this life that you have given us. This life of abundance, of freedom, and peace, and joy, and happiness, and generosity, and freedom. We thank you for this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for coming. Please continue to read what Jesus has to say as you swim with him. Amen. May God bless you. If you're in need of prayer, we're going to be here for a couple of minutes before the next.